What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Delusional is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
All right, so Anthony posted some jokes here. You guys ready to hear the jokes? Here we go. How many agnostics does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
We can't know for sure. Matt Slick said that's actually, I guess, from Matt Slick. All right.
Slick.
Yeah, I'm doing a conference with Matt Slick in Canada, eh?
Is he slippery?
Yeah, is he?
I don't know.
Is he slick?
You're so
fast. You're so quick-witted.
I'm just trying to help Anthony out. He needs some help on his jokes.
I don't think he's going to be too appreciative of that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That should be like his, you know, on his website. He needs some help with his jokes. Like reviews.
I need some.
Yeah. I'm sure he'd really like that.
All right. Here you go. I got another one. How many Arminians does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
None. The light bulb changes itself.
Oh, my God.
That's Matt Slick again.
That's really good, actually.
Oh, dang.
That's Slick.
That was Slick.
Well played.
Well played, Slick. All right, so this is Apologia Radio. We're back. Another week, guys. That's the bear over there. That's the girl over there. 1360 KPXQ Faith Talk. Gospel heard around the world. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another week. Got some exciting stuff for you guys. We're going to talk about the Herald Society's conference coming up here in a moment. But we have a couple announcements, some cool stuff going on. Luke the Bear, what's up, yo?
What's up with this music, dude?
You don't like it?
No.
It is good, and you know it. Yo, give me a little. It's there you go. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Sounds a little more comedy. Comedy. All right. Here we go. Luke.
Okay. So
guess what Joy did for the last 10 minutes, guys.
Just guess.
Do we even need to say it?
I don't know. Let's guess what animals it was. A snake.
A snake. It was a cute snake.
Well, you know what? Animals are always going to be cute. It's one of the constants in the world.
Yes.
All right. So
yep.
If you should probably be prepared for some sort of disaster if you walk in and I'm like, are no longer cute.
Is there such a thing as an ugly animal?
No, I don't think so.
Lies.
What name?
I'm
going to
find
animal?
One.
Lies.
I'm going to find one.
Are you telling me the baboon with the funny red butt is actually cute?
So
it is not.
You can ask anyone. One of my things is that I think Elliot has said it before. like, I sometimes I feel bad for things, and so I think they're cute. But sometimes animals that are really ugly, there's like a cuteness in their ugliness.
Water buffaloes.
Yeah.
Not cute.
Mm-hmm.
Not cute.
Why not?
Pugs. Not
oh,
cute.
Oh, pugs.
Okay,
come
so
on.
Pugs look like someone smashed them in the face with a pan.
That's
and they have
best.
Asthma.
That's
they
the
have,
best.
They have asthma.
They're
and
all snorty
they have an
and cute.
They have asthma with a smashed face.
So
Pomeranians, not cute.
They look like
they're
Bush's
cute.
Voice
Chihuahuas.
My most favorite dog.
Gangs of Chihuahuas, yeah. Not cute.
Running the streets of Phoenix.
So I think when you see an ugly animal, you probably think, oh, bless his heart.
Oh, bless his heart.
Sometimes that's how it is. And then sometimes I see an animal that most people think is ugly, and I actually think it's cute.
Sloth?
Yes.
Cute.
Cute.
Yes.
Really cute.
I'm going to find something before the show's over.
Are there any insects?
Bring it on.
Are there any insects that are ugly?
There's actually, I really don't like cockroaches.
Yeah.
I really don't like
so
them.
So they're not cute.
So I
so
was
if
hiking.
If I find an ugly cockroach.
No. Well, the one in WALL-E is really cute, but that's an animated cockroach. I wish they were like that more.
Yeah, not true.
When I earlier this year, so I used to be kind of afraid of grasshoppers, but I was hiking earlier this year and one flew into my mouth. And so I realized
I'm not even angry.
But wait, I realized that was not as bad as I thought it would be. And
you ate it?
So no, I was like breathing out at the time, so it kind of like went in and then breathed it out.
Yeah.
But I realized that wasn't that bad. That really wasn't that bad.
Didn't taste that bad?
No, I mean just the whole thing wasn't as traumatizing as I thought it would be. So since then, I have been hoping, kind of, sort of, not really, hoping that maybe like a cockroach would
land
on me or something, so that way I could be like, oh, that's not that bad.
Okay.
And then get over it.
I have a mission
but the
to
other
throw
night,
a cockroach into
no,
your mouth.
No. Shh. Okay, I'm going to tell you. That wasn't the grasshopper thing is not an exact science, because the other night I was talking with Shay Zachary. And a cockroach crawled on
Shay-Z.
My foot. And the grasshopper thing is not an exact science. I discovered I'm still terrified of cockroaches.
Were you at Shay's house when this
no,
cockroach crawled?
No, we were outside of Christian's work.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so I could feel cockroaches climbing on me for like 30 minutes after that.
When we lived,
still terrified.
When we lived in Tempe, I was in bed one morning and we had a house that there was a crack in the floor or something like that. It was a very old house in Tempe and there was all
you
kinds
there was
of
crack in the floor.
It was some crack in the floor. from the last resident. We just left it there. You know, we just told the kids, don't go near that.
They might want to come back for
we
it.
We told the kids, we're like, don't go near that. It doesn't belong to us. So there was a crack in the floor and they kept coming up and like we're sealing it up and everything else. Old house we're renting. And in the morning, wake up and looking over at Candy, she's looking at me. And I'm like, hey. And then all of a sudden she looks up and she goes, there's a cockroach on your shoulder. I've never moved so fast in my life. I jumped up and in midair pulled my shirt off. Flew it across the room before I landed back on the bed. No joke. You can ask
you
my wife.
What?
It's
the
all true.
The problem with cockroaches is they have just no regard.
That they're of the devil?
For social
no.
Nicety.
Boundaries.
Yeah, that, really,
no social
they
boundaries.
Don't care. I'm pretty sure they're evil.
Yes. No,
they run
they
towards
are.
You.
Yes.
They, I don't even know. They try to lay eggs in your ear.
Yes.
That's
oh,
what
that's
they
just,
do.
That just made me sick.
That's what
they
do. They
laid eggs in my ear. Why are you going to say things like that? Okay, but
well,
I
do that.
I agree with you. They're socially awkward.
Yeah.
Socially awkward cockroaches.
They, you know, and people say they're more afraid of you, but if they were afraid of me, why are they trying to come in my house all
it's,
the time?
It's like that friend that always enters a conversation when he's really not supposed to be in the conversation or you know, sort of butts himself in or something like that. The
and
annoying friend that you're like, oh, well, I just wish you could go away.
And he crawls in your mouth.
Yeah. All right.
Well, hey, I got to real quick.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you, Joy, because you're talking about grasshoppers. You know, last night... Eve, you saw that grasshopper.
Yeah.
She was like very excited about a grasshopper.
Mm. Yeah.
So last night before bed, we were praying. I was like, what do you want to thank God for? And she goes, that I got to see that grasshopper.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, I realized when we were traveling that I'm not, cool. I'm really, really not afraid of grasshoppers anymore. Cause I had to go to the bathroom on the side of the road at one point and the ground was like moving with grasshoppers.
That's awesome.
That
and
was
it
awesome.
Was cool. I
were
thought
they
it was
man hoppers?
Cool.
Did that's they have mullets?
That's an apocalyptic pee-pee.
Did they have mullets?
I'm a lady, okay? So I used
you brought
the
story up. You told me last night that it was behind a concrete wall.
It was. I had to go. What do you want from me?
She peed on some poor grasshopper's bed.
I don't know anything about that.
I don't think they have beds.
I wouldn't know about going behind walls and using the bathroom on someone's bed.
The poor homeless grasshopper's bed. He had pillows and everything.
I looked for their housing communities and aimed for that.
Oh, I hope our guest isn't on right now.
All right.
Okay.
He is, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, what do you? What am I doing? You want me to just...
I don't know what you're doing. Let me just start talking about insects.
What are any of us doing?
Okay.
Okay, so I have a lot of comments.
Give them to us. We have some comments. Oh, by the way, we have to say this. Church app. We have now and a radio app all together in one. Church app, radio app together. It's awesome. It's really good. We have all the Apologia Radio episodes up on our church app. It's free. Mm-hmm. And we actually have the sermons. We still have much more work to do for the sermons. Tons more. We have, like, 2 years of Romans verse by verse that we haven't put up there. So the church app is up. It's got both the church and radio stuff together. Get it. Pull it down. I think we have it on our Apologia Radio's Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's on my page, on Luke's page. I don't know if Joy shares it. She doesn't really care. And I'm just joking.
I already have it on my phone.
Woo!
If there was, like, a picture of a wombat, she'd share it.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that should be a part of it. Like, there could be, like, a little feed that updates of just cute animal pictures.
This is great stuff, though. Right? We have the church app. It's really good.
Well, I would recommend you guys look at the events.
Yes.
The events are the best part, and we had nothing to do with it. The guy that set up our app was hilarious enough to do them all.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout-out to James Raymond, because he's put it all together for us. And I want to give a shout-out to Subsplash / the church app, because that's who's doing it, and they did an awesome job. And actually, they're going to be given a discount if they order through us, but they haven't told me what it is yet.
Okay.
But that being said, James is the man. He needs some help. We need some help. So if there's anyone out there that would be interested in volunteering some time to help us get some stuff up on the app, please hit us up and we'll let you know what we need to do. So I guess I'll just read some comments.
We got about a minute and a half left.
So here's the first one. He shall have dominion by thought bombing. Apologia Church and Apologia Radio are a brilliant resource and ministry for the reformed and reforming. The law of God is viewed highly and the gospel command is unapologetically and boldly proclaimed. In keeping with the greatness of the commission, a biblical use of the creation mandate to take dominion over the whole earth to subdue it, it's staunchly advocated, highly recommended. And I read one more here from, I know this man, from S. Solomon _tech. Glory is the subject.
Glory!
The teaching and ministry at Apologia will be a blessing for those grounded in the Reformed tradition, spiritual wake-up call to those embracing a man-centered theology, and a flat-out knockout punch to atheists who work to suppress the truth of God.
Woo.
I highly recommend this app and the content it provides. Scott S. from Santan Valley.
Yeah, I know Scott S.
Me too.
He's with us.
Scott Squared.
All right, guys, apologiaradio.com is where you get us. Get the past episodes there, APOLOGIA, apologiaradio.com. James White was actually dissing us because we are saying the gamma wrong. It's supposed to be g, so it's supposed to be apologia. We know. We like apologia. That's why we said it, because it sounds like apologetics. Apologetics, apologia. Yeah. So that's why we did it. So Dr. White was busting on us. I don't know if you know that. He was about us saying not saying apologia. Well, he said, I love the show, even though you're saying your gamma's wrong. Thank you, Dr. White, for that correction. All right, guys, we'll be back in a moment here with Jeff Rose from the Herald Society. Stay with us, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Isaiah 65:13. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servants shall sing for gladness of heart, but you shall cry out for pain of heart and shall wail for breaking of spirit. You shall leave your name to my chosen for a curse, and the Lord God will put you to death, but his servants he will call by another name. And then verse 17 and 65, for behold, I create a new heavens
and a new earth. Isaiah 65. Check it out, y'all. Excellent, I think, description of what took place really in the first century. What Jesus described often in his ministry, the judgment upon the covenant breakers and the vindication of God's people turning over into the new covenant. Beautiful, beautiful text, Isaiah 65. All right, guys, we're back. ApologiaRadio.com, guys. Get us there. Go to our Facebook page and like us there. I think we're just about over, or getting to, or over now, 3,000 likes on that page.
Almost there.
Almost there. All right, guys. So here we go. Let's talk about an upcoming event. Jeff Rose has been with us before. He is with the Herald Society. And upcoming, or coming up in October, is the Herald Society's conference. Very important. I want you guys to hear about what's going on. Jeff, welcome back to the show, brother.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. We love having you on, man. So tell us about the Herald Society. Tell us what you do. We'll start there.
Well, the Herald Society is a manifestation of the vision of Jeremiah Cry Ministries. It's the outworkings and the practical implications of the ministry. The Herald Society is, you know, it's a portion that reaches out to serve the local church. And for those who sense the call, have been called and sent out to publicly proclaim the gospel to the world, and being able to supply the local church, coming from the local church, with the necessary, you know, academics and also practical training to take the gospel into the world.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so tell us about the upcoming event, why it's important, and how people can get involved.
Well, the upcoming event is going to be in Philadelphia, and it's on October the 23rd through the 25th. It's a three-day intensive training. It's all academics. It's all you just submit yourself to the teachings of those who come in, and I will be speaking on all different areas of apologetics, evangelism, public proclamation in the open air. We'll be dealing with biographical sketches of reformers of the past. And we're going to really look at the purity of the gospel and the means by which God has commanded us to take it forth into this world, what that looks like, and really deal with it detailed. And it's important that, you know, not just preachers come to this event, but families,
right?
The church, come to this event. You're going to realize that we're going to remove the whole dualistic nature that we have been indoctrinated with in this country, that evangelism is just something that we do, which is separated from the church. But we're going to show that it literally flows out from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to deal with it biblically. And I think, you know, when people see that, they can rest. When they can see what, you know, how evangelism flows from the local church, and it's not something that's segregated or fragmented, but it all flows together. People can relax and realize, listen, we're not expecting you to get out on the box on Saturday night from 7 to 10. It's something that specifically people, men, are called to go out and do this. Yes, everybody is commanded to share their faith and whatever influence of life that God puts them in. But we're talking about the specific calling of a preacher, thrust out into the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and defend the truth. What this actually looks like when the whole church gathers together, pastors, church members that come together, we can celebrate this calling in Scripture. We can celebrate it together, because once we realize how it functions, how it works, it removes a lot of the stigma that's been placed upon us throughout the last 100 years.
Right. And one of the things that I've been able to experience over the last year is I've run into a bunch of guys that were at the Herald Society last year. So this event essentially for last year. And just the stories coming from these different guys, these different men, it was pretty amazing just to listen to these guys. I mean, one guy was talking about, he had like tears in his eyes, just talking about the fellowship and the teaching. So talk about the impact of last year, and then we'll kind of get into who's coming this year and what's going on.
Yeah, it really was it was very severe. It started out really intense. I thought everybody was going to go home after the first day. I thought, man, we're going to just lose people, because it was so, it was offensive. It really was, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
It really dealt with a lot of the idols that we have made ourselves into, the celebrity syndrome and all the kind of things that, you know, we were kind of, you know, fashioning open-air preaching into.
Mm.
And I think a lot of that was crushed. But I think from that, then the building took place the last 2 days. And, boy, we just saw some extraordinary work going on by the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. And the last day was really powerful. And, you know, Tony Miano could hardly finish his message. He was weeping, you know, so heavily in repentance and brokenness. And everybody just began to just, you know, just repent and cry out to the Lord and seek his face.
Mm.
And really just, you know, really seek the Lord and ask him to really use us in the time that we're living in, and to remove all the selfishness and the covetousness and all the vanity of our lives, and really to seek the Lord and really, really exalt his son in the time that he's given us.
Amen.
To do that.
Okay. So this year, who's coming? We're running out of time on this segment, but you can go ahead, and we have about 2 minutes left. Tell us about who's coming this year.
We have Tony Miano, Jeff Durbin, we have Mark Spence, Chris Sipley, Bobby McCreary. I'll be there as well. We've got John Ruther. The names are kind of escaping me off the top of my head.
Sai coming?
Yes, Sai Ten Bugin K. Good. Yeah, I mean, I love Sai. I mean, Sai's in, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's, you know, if I miss anybody, I apologize. I just can't think of anything off the top of my head.
All right, so let's do this. How can everyone get plugged in and get signed up and get there?
Get on jeremiahcry.com and register, register as soon as possible. Get a seat and get in as soon as you can. I know early registration is over, but the registration is still very inexpensive for what you're going to get. So get dialed in. Don't miss it. I mean, this is more than just a conference. I mean, this is really a declaration. It's drawing a line in the sand, and it's going to be a powerful. It's going to be a powerful 3 days, and I would definitely not miss it.
Okay, and the website one more time.
JeremiahCry.com.
JeremiahCry.com. Jeff, you're a blessing, man. I can't wait to come and spend time with you and be at that conference with you. Encourage you guys to go check out the website. Get registered, guys. End of October. Make sure you guys are there. We'll see you there, Jeff. Love you, brother. We'll see you there.
Love you guys. God bless.
God bless you, man. Bye-bye.
See you, buddy.
All right, y'all. Get it, guys. That's a pretty cool collection of dudes. That's going to be awesome being there.
You know what, man? The size of the limit.
Yeah. The size of the limit. Nice job. ApologiaRadio.com, guys.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. ApologiaRadio.com, guys. 1360 KPXQ. That's the bear, the girl. What's up? Hey, Joy.
Yes.
Is today special?
Yes.
And what
day is special?
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about what's special about today?
Well, I got an email yesterday alerting me that today would have been...
That somebody would like to have you send them money?
Yes, that. No.
No, that someone's a Saudi prince and they're trying to... They have
they have
$1 million in an account they just can't get access
company.
To. Yeah.
Sorry.
I just distracted her with an ugly animal.
Luke's trying to convince me that doesn't really even look like an animal. I don't think it's ugly. No.
Oh my God.
You think the blobfish is good?
Yeah, look at its little face.
I'm gonna find something.
So sad looking.
It only deserves to get beat with a club.
No, it doesn't. No. Okay, so I got an email alerting me that today would have been Greg Bonson's 66th birthday.
Woo! Greg Bonson.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it on down to
Bonsonville.
Of romance going on right now.
We finish each other's sandwiches.
That's what I was going to say.
You guys are too cute. Look at you.
All right.
Okay, so Greg Bonson's 66th birthday would have been his 66th birthday. So I had an idea to just talk about that. Some of our favorite stuff by Greg Bahnsen for a second.
All right, favorite book. Do you have one or favorite stuff? Give me your favorite stuff.
Well, my favorite thing is actually, I kind of stumbled upon it by accident, but on CMF, you can find a sermon series of his all about the heart. It's only four parts, so it costs like $8 or something, but I recommend you guys getting it. It's about, let's see if I can get these in order. Fainting heart. A renewed heart,
yes.
A broken heart, and a pure heart.
Wow.
And they're awesome. You can listen to them over and over and over again.
Really?
And get new things every time.
At cmfnow.com.
Yes.
That's where you get it at. Mm-hmm. cmfnow.com. That's where you have all of Bahnsen's lectures. I mean, there's so much there, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
It's hard to even look through. You're like, oh my gosh. He did like 200.
Some of his, like his Hebrews series and stuff. You're like, oh, you know, maybe I'll check out Hebrews. It's a good book. And it's how 200 sermons long.
Like, and they're all as deep as you would expect from Bahnsen. Exactly. Every single one.
Mm-hmm.
How does Moses make coffee? Do you know?
No.
He brews it.
Oh,
he brews it.
Nice.
I hate when people tell.
Your friend didn't laugh. Yeah.
You know what?
What?
When you have to bring it down to Don.
Donkeyville. Bring it on down to Donkeyville.
Bahnsenville. Bring it on down to Bahnsenville. It's because his stuff is so deep.
Yes.
You have to go down.
Down
like
to Bahnsenville.
Oh, I get it. Like deep.
Yeah,
like
I totally ruined my punchline when I can't talk.
Bring it on down to Donkeyville.
Hey, this is off the subject, but there's an interesting fact I don't think you knew. The Herald Society, they named it after Harold Camping.
Doubt that. Very much.
They named it after
It's not
mom.
H-E-R. It's Harold as an old old decrepit false teacher.
Oh, my bad.
All like right. Hark the Herald Angels.
All right,
sing.
Quickly. So your favorite was that. Okay, book for me. Oh, this is tough. Man, this is hard. By This Standard by Bahnsen is a must have. If you want to get a deep, 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 deep rich book that will really challenge you, and you want to bring it on down to Bahnsenville, get Theonomy and Christian Ethics by Bahnsen. He also did a little book on postmillennialism that's very, very good. And then Presuppositional Apologetics, Stated and Defended by Greg Bahnsen. It's excellent. It's in hard copy. You can get that from AmericanVision.com. AmericanVision.com. All right. And Luke, your favorite.
I think you forgot Always Ready.
Always Ready. Yes.
Well, I think we share the same favorite message.
Yes.
And what's it called again?
Law and Disgrace.
Law and Disgrace. Yeah,
Law and Disgrace. It's actually available, or it's around on the internets. It's on the internets.
Most intensive.
Yeah, on the internets. It's Law and Disgrace, MP3. Look for it. It's somewhere. Just Google that junk. Law and Disgrace, MP3. You can get it on the internets, and you need to hear it. It is one of the best messages. Actually, about a week and a half ago, I was driving home from like way out, like Queen Creek area with Sage. He's doing like a Civil War reenactment.
I saw that.
What's up, homeschool woodpeckers? Civil
That's
War.
Awesome.
It's a pretty big one, too, actually. It's like epic scale.
Who was he?
Yeah,
Stonewall
Jackson. I think, okay, he would want to fight for the South. But he was going to be in the North. He's like, I'm going to just kind of do something like it's not, you know.
He wanted to be a rebel.
He just wanted to be like, I'm going to do something different. And I'm going to do something contrary to what I would want to do. And I'm like,
if we asked Sage, he would have like a full dissertation on why he chose that.
Yes. He'd be like, because states' rights.
Yeah.
That's what he would say. Because of states' rights and, yeah. All right, guys. So here we go.
I don't remember what you were talking about.
We're at Bahnsenville.
No, but you were telling a story and then.
Oh, and he listened to the whole lecture with me and he was like cracking up several times. He's like, wow, wow. 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 That's how I felt the first time listening to it. Wow.
Apology Radio will be right back.
Get the church app. Go to Apology Radio on Facebook. Get the church app. Combination of church sermons. Lectures. We're actually uploading the discussions we've had live with atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all that stuff, guys. Also, all of Apologia Radio is on our church app. It's free. It's on Google Play and it's on iTunes. You can get it for all your Apple devices and all that. All right, guys.
back, apologyradio.com. Let's finish the discussion. We didn't get a chance to actually finish it up. Did I just mess it up?
Let's finish the discussion.
Sugar, sugar, sugar. Don't be talking now. Okay, so in the last day, last night I was teaching at church. We have youth get to hook up. We have a family integrated church on Sunday, but the youth, they also hook up on Tuesdays to hang out, get into the word, and just kind of have fun together. And so our guy who runs our youth right now, Isaac, who's been on the show before, is taking a little break. So I've been running that for the last couple of weeks and running through a series on how we know Jesus is the Messiah with the kids. They're doing a great job with it. But Joy was there on the couch because she does the youth as well. She helps out with that. And what did I say? I was like, so if someone asks you, why do you believe in Jesus? I said, Jesus. I was just tired. It's one of those days. I said, why do you believe in Jesus?
That's funny. I love me some Jesus.
Jesus. I don't even know where that came from. All right. So Law and Disgrace was the lecture he pointed you guys to with Bonson speaking on the law of God. It's a really, really amazing lecture. I think it was given a year before his death, actually. He died pretty young. Yeah. Some people don't know he actually died at 46 or 47. He was really young. Like Edwards, right? Jonathan Edwards. He died at a really young age.
Spurgeon.
That's all. Yeah. All the best die really young, right?
Only the good die young.
Except for Dr. White.
Yeah.
He's still going.
He's not that old, though.
It's because he rides that bicycle.
Yeah. He's in such good shape.
All day.
Yeah.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Our day. All right. Did you guys hear about the floods in Arizona last week? What was with that?
Not only did I hear about them, I saw them with my own eyes.
Yeah, I was in them.
Flooded
the streets down the highway.
Yeah. Highways. It wasn't just Arizonans freaking out about water. It was really bad this time.
No, it was actually really.
Yeah.
Floods. Although they did act like it was the Noah's flood.
And did you see people swimming around using their jet skis in the water and everything else? It's pretty awesome. Yeah. But also, they did discover, just so you know, everyone who was doing that, they found E. coli and fecal matter in all the water. So,
well, because it was all overflow from sewers, what else do people think is in there?
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't a brown trout.
No,
a little E. coli.
It wasn't a brown trout. Was that a fish? How'd that get in here? Nope.
Nope. The black hole, mama.
Nope. Don't eat that. I tried to gut it. It didn't work. All right, guys. Here we go. So, favorite Bonson stuff, presuppositional apologetics by this standard. Luke mentioned Always Ready. But there's another one that you guys should hear. And this is from that Law and Disgrace thing. Boy. All right. I'm back. All right. Here we go. Law and Disgrace. This is Bonson. A clip from Law and Disgrace. You need to hear it. It really is. Powerful moment. All right. If it works.
You just said Law and Disgrace.
Law and Disgrace. Okay, I don't even know why this isn't working. What?
Joy
still hasn't recovered from the brown trout story. Nope.
All right. Well,
I just get loopy in here. Every time I come here, it's
in our culture.
All right, here you go.
If you sincerely try to stand against the slide into the cesspool of wickedness in our state, in our culture, by looking for a consistent biblical position from which you might witness against the disgrace all around us, as many of us have found, you'll lose your job within the seminary community. You'll lose your standing in the church establishment. You'll virtually become unemployable. Even if you're Orthodox, you'll become ostracized. You'll be called dangerous. What's wrong with us? That theonomists are dangerous when we have to lock our windows at night? It's crazy, isn't it? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend he just doesn't see? Of all the wicked heresies and threatening movements facing the church in our day, when Westminster Seminary finally organized their faculty to write something in unison, They gave their determined political efforts not to fight socialism, not to fight homosexuality, not abortion, not crime and mayhem in our society, not subjectivism in theology, not dispensationalism, not cultural relativism, not licentiousness, not defection from the New Testament, not defection from the Westminster Confession of Faith, all of which are out there and they could give their legitimate efforts to. Boy, the thing they had to write about was theonomy. How many times can a man turn his head and pretend he doesn't see? We are living in the cesspool of relativism, and the church doesn't have an answer. Well, I praise God, not for my work. I think it's the grace of God that allows me to have this ministry. But I praise God that the truth that the early church knew and that is found in the Bible is available to us, and there are people like you who are willing to say, we'll pay the price. It's worth it.
All right, so that was from Law and Disgrace. Again, you can get that. So it's floating around online, guys. Just Google it, Law and Disgrace MP3. That, it was just an epic moment in that discussion. But if you listen to the whole entire lecture, you discover that that was just one of many, many, many points that just are amazing and jaw-dropping and convicting and challenging. You need to hear it, Law and Disgrace. So that's one of my favorites. Do I have any more favorites of Bonson's stuff? I have tons. His Biblical Introduction to Apologetics, you can get that at cmfnow.com, is a must-have for every Christian's library. It's about 28 to 30 lectures on apologetics. If you want to really begin a study, a deep study in apologetics, apologetic methodology from a biblical perspective and a philosophically consistent perspective, if you want to see Dr. Bonson slay atheism, then go get Biblical Introduction to Apologetics, cmfnow.com. You can download them there, or you can get like a nice little a tight little CD set you can get. Encourage you guys to get that. The first two or three lectures on that series are, the audio is like, you can still hear it. You still, some of them, it's in like 1980s that, you know, some of that stuff is recorded, but it's worth it. And just fight through, you know, a couple of the audio difficulties, but it's worth all your time. You need to listen to Biblical and Introduction to Apologetics. I think that's what it's called. All right. So anything else? Luke, you had something you want to say?
His debate with Stein is always a good one, too.
But yeah, the Gordon Stein-Greg Bonson debate is a must-have. And if you haven't heard it, he also did a radio interview with George Smith, the author of Atheism, A Case Against God. That was awesome. You need to get that, George Smith. Most people don't know, George Smith, that book, Atheism, A Case Against God, is one of the popular books that all atheists have in their libraries. It's one of the popular ones, well-known ones. And I think Gordon Stein, even in the debate, says that George Smith's book is the finest book ever written on the subject of atheism. Mm. So you can get that also at cmfnow.com. People don't know this. Bonson has debates on gun control. He has a debate where he debated a rabbi and a Muslim at the same time.
With his eyes closed.
Yeah, right. He debated George Smith, Gordon Stein. He debated Edward Tabush. He debated, a Roman Catholic dude. What's his name again? Gary Matatix. Just some great stuff. Jerry Matatix. And you can get all that, I think, at cmfnow.com. Go get it, guys. And I think Joy's right. One of the things people don't really get a lot of access to Bonson, through is just his, like, Proverbs study, his stuff on, like, Christian living. People don't realize some deep stuff on, like, Christian living. Here's the deal. Who does, like, an entire series these days on the book of Proverbs, verse by verse? Mm. That's challenging. If you think about it, that's actually very difficult to do as a pastor. Develop a 45-minute message on a verse from Proverbs. That takes skill. That takes some homiletic skill, takes some hermeneutic skill, some skill. And Bonson had skills with a Z, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mad skills.
Sometimes you guys look at me with blank faces like deer in the headlights.
I was just blowing my nose.
There's kind of not a lot we can say after you've said skills five times.
With a Z.
Like, what else?
With a Z.
Say? You're right. I agree. He had skills. Mm. Uh-huh.
You have something else you want to say over there?
This was that more streetcredit.com?
streetcredit.com. All right. So today we wanted to do some discussion on Mormonism. A little more of an advanced discussion. If you want to get into the bottom level stuff, then what you're going to want to do is go to apologiaradio.com. You look through the archives, you're going to see a crash course on Mormonism that I did actually on apologetics.com's radio program that aired all over LA, I think. And you go there, it's like 2 hours or so, maybe. I think something like that. So go check that out. Or you can go onto our YouTube page, Apologia Church on YouTube. You can listen to the lectures I've given there, sermons I've given there on how to reach your Mormon friends and family and neighbors. But let's do a couple different things today. Wanted to talk today about just a few things that might help in the sense of what are some of the challenges you might get when you talk to your Mormon friend or family, neighbor, and what are some important points you need to bring up besides sort of the basics. So let's talk about the first two things. What are the two important things that we must always keep at the front when we talk with any cultist? What? Anybody? Luke, Joy, the two things?
Who is Jesus? How do I come to know him?
That's right. So the issue of who is Jesus or who is God, and then how do I come to know God? So we're talking about God and the gospel, right?
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with anybody that's in a cult, you want to deal with the issue of God, who is God, and what is the gospel? Because no matter wherever else we agree, that's where we don't agree. And those are issues where Dr. Walter Martin said, if you're wrong on your doctrine of God, you're wrong enough to lose your soul. It doesn't matter wherever else you are right. It doesn't matter. If you've got the wrong God, then you don't have a God that can save. If you have the wrong gospel, you have a gospel that cannot save you. And so those are the important issues, and that's what you have to stick to. So
well, it makes it just a little bit simpler instead of like, I mean, obviously they're the most important issues, but also that way you don't feel like you have to go in a
right.
bunch of different directions or go somewhere right. that you don't need to go.
That's right. And I want to say it is a frustrating thing to see a conversation between a Christian, say, and a Mormon, and the Christian is focusing on all like a host of other really crazy issues, you know. And those are, I mean, I'm not saying they're not important. Like, they are important issues at times. Like, when you talk about Joseph Smith's character, mm-hmm. When you talk about Joseph Smith as a man, his reputation with his neighbors, you know, all this stuff is documented. When you talk about Joseph Smith being arrested in Bainbridge, New York, and I think 1826 for crystal ball gazing, valid stuff. You know, that's important. You know, he was engaged in some pretty crazy stuff. And, you know, all that's valid stuff. But when you talk to a Mormon on the street or a friend at a restaurant or something like that, you know, these are issues that need to come second. They need to come after the major points of discussion have happened. When you talk about what did Joseph Smith teach us about God? What did Joseph Smith say about the gospel? What did Brigham Young say about God? Some crazy stuff. And what did Brigham Young say about exaltation to becoming a god one day? What did they teach about polygamy? Like, for example, Brigham Young taught that you can't even become a god unless you enter into polygamy. That's an important point to make. And so all the central issues need to be handled first. What is the issue between us? Now, when we come back, I'm going to play a clip when we come back. And that's what we're going to do today, sort of go over some issues. I'll give you guys some quotations. I'll kind of prepare you of some things they're going to say to you and how to respond. And we'll all talk as a group through that. But when we come back, I'm actually going to play a clip. It's not like one of the 30-minute clips we have up online where we're doing like a 30-minute discussion going verse by verse. But this is a clip where I run into a guy outside the temple last year during Christmas lights. It's only a few minutes long, but it does get to, I think, the point of not allowing the Mormon you're talking to blur the issue by just saying, but we're Christians. You're a Christian, we're a Christian. You shouldn't be doing this sort of a thing. It helps to hear, I think, that you need to cut through that language and you need to just be blunt and direct with what they say about God, what the Bible says about God. Sometimes you have to just cut right through the gobbledygook and get right down to the bottom and say, what are the issues? And you want to love the person enough to do that. And so when we come back, we're going to talk through the issue of Mormonism. I'm going to give you guys some stuff we haven't done on the show yet, I think. Give you guys some great references and a discussion of how we respond to specific challenges brought to us from Mormons. Be right back with Joy the Girl, Luke the Bear, ApologiaRadio.com with the Ninja.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
Dr. Walter Martin's book, The Kingdom of the Cults, was at the very beginning of the book, and it's called Scaling the Language Barrier. When you look at that book, it's really an excellent work. If you don't have The Kingdom of the Cults in your library, you should get it. It's really one of the best works on an overall look at the major cults and their history, their theology, and then comparing and contrasting that with the Word of God. So Dr. Walter Martin gave us a gift with The Kingdom of the Cults. And actually, Dr. Walter Martin is the man that God used to inspire me actually for ministry. So, but that book was very helpful, Scaling the Language Barrier, because it helps us to see that the cults use our language. They borrow our terminology. They speak, as I say often, Christianese. They use the language that we use in our ghetto. And so that's what makes it difficult. So you oftentimes maybe we'll hear Christians saying, well, it's so difficult because I was talking to Mormon, they sounded just like us. Right, because that's exactly what happens with any other religion that borrows from Christianity or apes Christianity and distorts its message. Is they borrow our terminology, they sound like us, and that's what becomes so confusing. So when you're engaging a cult, whatever it may be, you need to find out what they actually believe, define your terms, so that you can cut through the mess of the surface level language and just get right to the bottom. But what are you really saying about Jesus? What are you really saying about salvation? And so what I'm going to do right here is just play a little clip. It's a discussion that I had outside the Mormon temple in Mesa last Christmas. It's a short one, but I hope it shows to you some of the things that you need to do when you're talking to a Mormon to cut through the language barrier. Here we go. Well, it would if Apple products were working how they're supposed to be. What is with, though, as this comes up here, what is with, like, the Apple cult? You know what I'm saying? Like, people, like, if you say
yeah,
to anybody, like, did you see what I said? I said my computer was acting weird the other day, and it's Windows. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was a gift, so I'll take it. Thank God for it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't working for a moment. It was a very simple fix, by the way. And so I put it up, then I realized, oh, wait, if I even mentioned that I was like Windows, people are going to attack me. So I put underneath it, I put Apple cult, calm down, like, because I knew what would happen. So what's with
it
the
is,
Apple?
It is really, okay, so I almost worked for Apple.
Did you?
And I've been an Apple person for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel a little less, I don't care about it so much more recently, like okay. In the past year or so. But I personally believe that despite any like technological superiority, they're way better at marketing.
Yeah, that is true.
And they've made it to the point where Apple is basically a philosophy, like a way of life. You are an Apple person.
Yeah, you sound
if
like
you have Apple stuff.
It sounds like you're in a cult.
Yeah, it is. It's totally a cult. If you, I mean, by the time
idolatry,
I've been through their like hiring thing that they go through. You do multiple interviews and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you're out of that first group interview, you're like, I just want to work for Apple forever, forever and ever.
It's like the Church of Scientology.
They have awesome videos, and Apple stores are everywhere, and they just make you care about Apple.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, Windows, but you're not doing that.
How you doing, man? Merry Christmas.
Good, how are you?
Some basic teachings in the LDS church.
He walked up to me, by the way. Inside. He walked up to me.
I'm good. Thanks. Are you LDS?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're for you.
Thanks.
Things like, do you believe you're going to become a God one day?
Yeah, I was a missionary.
So what, as a missionary, what did you do with, like, texts from the scriptures that teach that there's no God's form before God, none after him?
Well, I actually worked with refugees,
okay.
So we really didn't get into a lot of doctrine. It was more about converting.
I mean, you personally.
Converting them to believe in Jesus Christ.
Which Jesus?
You get the slippery thing there. We didn't get into a lot of doctrine. It was about converting them to Jesus Christ. Do you see the slipperiness of this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, doctrine means teaching. So did you say something about Jesus? Then you taught them about Jesus.
Yeah.
What did you say about Jesus? That he's our brother? That, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's slippery, and you have to just take a deep breath as a Christian, and you got to be able to cut through that. You are allowed to confront that kind of stuff. So here we go. Here's some more.
Our brother?
Satan's brother?
If you're just looking for arguments, you
no, I'm sort of like, example, like, yeah. Paul. Like, Paul went to the synagogues to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. He went to the Areopagus. And
I come to pick my father up. He works at the temple. And
cool.
I usually sit in the car. I was just curious what you're doing, because I've been out here many, many years and enjoying the lights, and you know, there's people that are anti, and it just kind of detracts from the experience. So I was just
when you say anti Mormon, so like a Christian like myself that loves you guys and has a burden to share Christ with you and the true gospel.
Do you have a lot of Mormon friends?
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen lots of Mormons actually come to Christ out of Mormonism as a result of this kind of ministry, personal relationships, things like that. But say, for example, like for me as a Christian, how would you approach me as a Christian who has a burden for you? You went on your missions. Obviously, you're zealous. You care about people.
A Christian that has a burden for me?
Yes, for Mormons.
Okay, well, it wouldn't be for me your burden.
It definitely is. I care for you as a person, as an image bearer of God. This church is led, I believe, and you can steer me in the right direction if you believe I'm wrong. I believe this church teaches you a false God and false gospel. Joseph was a false prophet. That would be what my contention is. But here's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
When you were a missionary, you went and gave the account of the first vision.
Correct.
So you approach people on your first lesson with Joseph's first vision account, where he says that God told him, join none of the churches because they're all wrong. Their creed's an abomination. The professors are corrupt.
Well, I actually have studied a lot of religions. I study Hebrew right now and Arabic.
Awesome.
So I spent 20 years studying Buddhism. So I mean, I'm pretty open-minded into what's out there.
What would you
tolerant to other people's beliefs, and that's why it just amazes me that us being Christian brothers, how it'd be like me being a Muslim and going to a mosque and kind of handing out things which are.
Well, that would kind of beg the question, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because how would you say that I'm a Christian if Joseph says that God told him that I'm corrupt and my creeds are an abomination?
I think you're getting hung up on wordage.
What does it mean that my creeds are an abomination?
Rather than the spirit.
What would that mean to you? Explain that to me. That God tells Joseph the creeds are an abomination, the professors, that's me, are corrupt.
Well, I think the emphasis behind it was there was an apostasy.
Right. And, so how can I be your brother if I'm part of an apostate church?
Well, Lucifer's my brother. He just fell away.
Well, you are implying brother in Christ.
Absolutely.
So we share the same God?
We all have the same father. thus makes us brothers.
Well, I don't believe that God was once a man who became a God one day.
Whether you're a Jehovah's Witness, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a Catholic, we're still brothers.
So Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Do you believe that?
I don't get hung up on the labels. I look at you. If I was out on the street and I saw a homeless man, I wouldn't go up and say, you know, are you a Jehovah's Witness or Catholic? Because if you are, I can't help you because I'm Mormon.
Well, I don't believe in that in a sense of us helping one another and loving one another. That's a different story. But I think the greatest act of love that I can show you is to show concern for you and to come here and to tell you that this church is teaching you a different God and a different gospel.
Me as well. That's why I got out of the car.
I know, and I genuinely appreciate that.
I will be studying my language tapes right now, but I thought it was
cool.
Important.
And I know what it's like to study Hebrew, too. So, yeah, it's a beast, man. Jeff.
My name's Sean.
Hey, pleasure to meet you, man.
Pleasure to meet you.
Well, I would ask, say, for example, we talk about Christ. Jesus says, and I know you'll agree with this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he says it's the only way to the Father. And yet, Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 11 that there are other Jesuses, other spirits, and other gospels that can't save. So, for example, the Muslim you brought up, he doesn't believe that, he says Jesus, that they revere him, but he doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Prophet.
Yeah, he doesn't believe he died or rose again, but that's not Jesus, is it?
It's not the Jesus that I know.
It's not the true Jesus.
Yeah.
If he's not the Son of God, he didn't die for sins and didn't rise from the dead, then that's not the Jesus that you would accept.
Well, I think it's no different than you and me seeing someone, and we may look at them differently. Just because of our experiences.
If I said to you,
he's a good man, and I may say, no, he's a bad man. I saw him do this.
What if
that.
I said Jesus is not the Son of God and he didn't die for sins? You wouldn't refute that?
If you said that, I wouldn't agree with you.
So it's not Jesus, is it?
Oh, that's my dad right there. The Jesus that I know is the one who was born at Christmas and that we celebrate his birth.
He's Satan's
death.
Brother. He's one God among many gods. He's the physical offspring of Elohim and one of our goddess mothers. The Jesus of the Bible is the creator of all things. John chapter 1 says, without him, nothing came into being that's come into being, that he created all things, including Satan.
You're very
well
versed.
He's not his brother. Well, I would encourage you to just, if you want, take this.
I would encourage you to feel the spirit of Christmas and to understand what people are doing here when they come with their families, to see the lights and to think about Christ.
Which Christ?
Not to
Satan's brother?
Once again, I'm not going to get into semantics, into...
Well, it's an issue, for example, named Sean.
Yes.
If a police officer came tonight and I said, I met a guy named Sean, he's a 7-foot-tall black dude, he's about 300 pounds, name is Sean, he's wearing a blue vest and some nice pants and black shoes.
I got to go.
Sean is a short white man, by the way, just so you know. that's why it's a drastic example.
Would I be identifying you?
As well as you know.
So you're a black man, 7 feet tall, 300 pounds?
If that's how you saw me.
Truth is not objective to you, it's relative.
Well, it's based upon our knowledge, and it's based upon our awareness, and it's based upon our experience.
What knowledge?
Our experiences, which are different.
So if I experience that sex before marriage is a good, holy thing, is that a good thing?
That's your experience.
Okay, so is it true, though?
I can't contest your life, your
Is it
your
true?
Journey.
Can I steal?
That's up to you. That's between you and God.
But what does God say about it?
Well, that's about... I would love to talk to you, Jeff. My dad, he called to pick him up.
Well, I would encourage you with love, Sean, to think about the fact that this church teaches a different God and different gospel. And if you have the wrong God and wrong gospel, you have a God that cannot save and a gospel that damns you.
I appreciate it. There's a better way to talk to Mormons than this type of thing.
Well, I'll rest thankfully on the many Mormons that have come to Christ because of this. God bless you. Merry Christmas, Sean.
So there you go.
Wow.
Comments.
Entirely subjective.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll talk more when we get back, guys. We'll fill in the details a little bit, guys. By the way, when he was... When he couldn't answer the question, he kept saying he had to leave, kind of thing.
Right.
But nobody was around. His dad wasn't around. No one was around. So
when he said, oh, there's my dad there.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
Funny.
So be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back. Maker of rules, dealing with fools. I can't.
you can think through kind of what you just heard. Okay, it's difficult at times because when you're witnessing to somebody for the gospel, we oftentimes allow somebody to change the subject.
Uh-huh.
And well, I think one of the important things you can learn from, say, you know, on the street evangelism or from personal conversation. And by the way, there's two different speeds you have to drive. Okay. There's a highway speed and there's a sidewalk speed. So when you're with a friend at a coffee shop, you don't necessarily have to just, you know, clobber them with confrontation of them changing the subject, being illogical, things like that. So yeah, nice. Thank you. I just said puberty. you know, be careful. You know, when you're on the street, sometimes you're out, you know, proclaiming the gospel in a public way. There's times where you need to just breathe fire and confront publicly, you know, something. And so just be careful. You're not supposed to drive the same speed, you know, on the highway and the sidewalk. So
I don't know why you're driving on the sidewalk.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Two different speed limits. Be quiet. I took that from Douglas Wilson. But that's important.
You just insulted Douglas Wilson.
Yeah.
I would say that to him, too. Why are you driving on the sidewalk? Trying to hit people.
So, okay, but so you're talking to a guy. You're talking to a guy, and you say, like, if you listen to the last clip, listen to it again. Listen to a challenge that was brought and a complete diversion that's brought in. Listen to a challenge that was brought and then a changing of the subject. Listen to a challenge that's brought and then a non-answer. You know, we're brothers. We'll know your church fundamentally teaches, and he was a missionary. So he knows that on his first missionary trip to someone's door, he gives them the first vision account. I mean, that's just part of what they do.
But they didn't talk about doctrine.
Right. I mean, the first vision account is not like a neutral stance towards the Christian church. It's just not.
Yeah.
The first vision account, I've heard it dozens and dozens of times with missionaries that come to my house and places that I've gone to sit with them. The first vision account is hostile to the Christian church. It's not neutral. It's not friendly. It's not, we're all okay. It, Joseph Smith is told by God that the Christian church's abominations, creeds are an abomination, and their professors, that is me, Joy, Luke, you, if you're a believer, are corrupt. There's a, in the Book of Mormon, says the church of God, and there's a church of Satan. Who do you think the Church of God is, according to the Book of Mormon? It's the Mormon Church. It's, who do you think they're talking about? It's not us. And so when the Mormon says to you today, well, we're brothers, no. Go right to the text where they're specifically being called a Church of Satan, a Church of God, where their professors are corrupt, their creeds are an abomination. Just tell it. Just say it. But this is what you believe. Now, notice there's no response to that. It's just that, oh, you're worried about semantics. Yeah, I'm kind of worried about that. You're corrupt. That's just semantics. No biggie.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought you were going to...
No, I got nothing else. Go ahead.
I have something.
Go ahead.
Your mom.
Okay, and it has to do... Probably. She has something. Yes, she probably does.
You're digging for gold over there?
That makes it sound like he's picking his nose.
Sorry, he's digging for potatoes.
I was scratching my ear hole.
Dude, you weren't just scratching. You were like drilling.
Sometimes these headsets make your moist.
Oh my gosh. I'm just going to start talking so that we can stop doing whatever this is.
Okay. Sometimes a moist ear hole.
Yeah.
Yes, and moist also.
Done?
Yes.
Okay, I don't even remember what I was going to say.
You were saying
your mom doesn't remember what you were going to say.
Let's just start and see where this goes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this probably would have been quite a bit more eloquent 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
But ever since that just happened.
You know how we do, baby boo.
You're making it so much worse for me.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we're...
We go from one track to the next.
Anything else?
We joke, and then we get very serious. This is a very serious moment, Joy, please.
I'll go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What were you just saying a second ago?
We're talking about...
Semantics.
Semantics, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe I do mean for this to sound as confrontational as it will sound.
Feel free.
But
feel free.
I want you guys to consider what... Like how ridiculous that sounded when he said, well, let's not get caught up in like the verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
What let's not get caught up in the verbiage actually means is let's not get caught up in what the Book of Mormon says or the you know, the teachings of this church says.
That's right.
So let's not get caught up in the book that supposedly contains truth. Okay. So that sounds ridiculous, right?
Right.
Now I want you to consider, maybe this is you, maybe I'm talking to you right now. What does that look like when you're a Christian that doesn't think it's important to study theology? When you just think it's all about God's love, let's not get caught up in the semantics of the Bible or the verbiage of the Bible. Mm. Does that seem just as ridiculous?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It should. Yeah. It definitely should. And it's because it is ridiculous. If you're proclaiming that you have a book that is from God, that is divinely inspired, and it contains ultimate truth, not subjective truth, then you are supposed to get all caught up in that verbiage. That's what it's about.
All up in it.
That's what it's about.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's toast redonkulous.
Boom. Okay. So listen to how it falls apart and collapses, and it can be seen clearly at the very end where I try to just drill it home. Okay, the Muslims say this about Jesus. You don't believe in that? No, I don't believe in that. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe this about Jesus. You don't believe that? No, I don't believe that. Okay, and he says, but, you know, whatever, don't worry about semantics. And then I say, okay, what if I saw a 300, I'm just ridiculous, like a 300-pound black man, 7 feet tall. He's this little short, a like preppy white dude, right? And I did that on purpose, like graphic. 7 foot tall, big black dude, you know? And I say, that's Sean. And he's like, well, if that's your perception, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No. That's it? That's where you go?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if we really don't care, well, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I say, eat your neighbor as you eat your broccoli, right? Like, and is he really going to fall down and say then, well, if that's your perception of what Jesus says, you know, is it really like that?
Well, and that's where you have to, that's where you can see how successful the presuppositional, like you can see, because I know you've talked about how people say, well, okay, so they're not an atheist. How do I use the presupp argument?
Yes, yes.
And that just shows you that if someone's trying to claim that we're, you know, we're all one or it doesn't really matter, you know, you can just say no. Like, no, it does matter. What you're saying about God is not right, whether you're saying he exists or not.
Yeah.
If it's not correct, then...
And go to the text.
It's important. Yeah.
And go to the text. Like, for example, the end portion there where I said, so it doesn't really matter, you know, kind of subjective. And here's what I meant by that. And like, just personal preference, subjectively interpreted only, right? And that's, we all have personal preferences, but we have to line them up with the Word of God. There's the objective standard. It gets fixed, right? So I said, so if somebody says their perception is, you know, sex before marriage, good to go. He's like, well, you know, if you want to. But what if I said it? What if I got like more graphic? I said, somebody says molesting children. Would he then have gone, well, whatever you before you and your make? No. Can you bring him back to the Word? It's like, well, how? That's why I said, what about stealing? Stealing, good. How's God feel about that? What am I doing? That's presuppositional, by the way. I'm taking what he said and I'm bringing to him to his ultimate presuppositions he's supposed to be consistent with. What about when God says about stealing? He's supposed to go right away to the Word of God in his own mind and go, oh, yeah, God does say don't do that. It's not a matter of personal preference or subjective interpretation. Oh, yeah, God does say that. There's the objective standard, the Word of God. You bring him back to the Word every single time. Be right back with more, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
You are far smarter than you can ever imagine. There is no obstacle that you cannot overcome, no problem that you cannot solve, and no goal that you cannot achieve by applying your mind to your situation.
Go on.
All right, guys. We did Backpack Radio's 4-year anniversary Saturday at Roosevelt Community Church. Dr. Jonathan Sarfati, as Joy says I called him.
Not to his face.
Sarfati.
That's usually what you call him, but now you know it's that it's Sarfati.
Vocab always confuses me with how he says it. Yeah. Well, I always get tripped up myself, and I wonder if I'm saying it right. And so I have this like internal conflict. I actually get like angst, like my stomach hurts when I have to go like say his name.
Yeah.
Because I worry, am I going to blow it? Okay. So, Luke, what do you have for us?
So they changed their name.
They changed their name.
But you guys don't know what it is.
No, I don't.
And I was just saying, I haven't seen an announcement on Facebook, but I know because Vocab tweeted us, Apologia Radio. So it's the name they changed to is the Urban Theologian.
The Urban Theologian?
Yeah.
Radio?
How do we mess that up?
Urban Theologian Radio?
Urban theologian?
I think it's just the urban theologian.
The urban theologian?
I think is what I saw.
Just the?
How do we mess that up?
Are they going down to one
house? I don't know. I've been trying.
Wouldn't it be theologian?
Theologian.
I don't know. How do we do that?
The urban Theo Huxtables.
The urban theologian.
Because Bob does wear
no.
Huxtable sweaters.
I got it.
And Vermin is kind of like Bill Cosby.
I got it. I already have it right now. No, because vocab's hair has been all crazy, little mustache. The turban. The turban theologian.
I knew you were going to go with
the
that.
The turban theologian.
Benes.
I got it. That was, okay. I actually thought of that immediately.
But you didn't say it.
Because
it was immature.
Turban and urban are... easy. That's easy.
I like it, though.
The bourbon theologian. The bourbon theologian because...
Because of Bob.
Because Bob's a Presbyterian and they drink. Ah, that was rich.
I enjoyed
rich,
it.
Rich. It was, do you remember when you would do that? You would say rich, but you would only say it in threes.
That was rich.
You would be like that. It is.
I never did
rich,
that.
Rich.
I never.
For a while there, you would only say rich. If you said it three times.
Three times?
That's great. Yes.
They call me three times. They call me Tony three times.
No, it was fun. We got to kind of introduce the thing, and you guys all left, and I introduced their show. And so I said, well, you guys are in for a special treat here because, one, Bob's awake. Borat's here.
I was still
here.
There for that, right?
Oh, yeah, you were there still. I'm sorry. I said, Borat's here. And I said, Vermont's not on vacation.
He's usually on vacation.
He's missed like the last 3 years of the 4 years of existence.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Let's jump right into it, guys.
The urban theologian.
Yeah, the bourbon theologian.
I like turban. It's good.
All right. I like it too.
Yeah.
We'll think of more. We'll destroy it. Okay. Here we go. Quickly, guys. Let's get into some more references you guys should have in your toolbox. By the way, one I recommend, the book itself is Where Does It Say That? Where Does It Say That? You're going to need that for your witnessing to Mormons. Because when you say, well, your church teaches such and such, they'll say, no, it doesn't. And you say, well, yes, it does. And they'll say, well, where does it say that? And it's wonderful. It's a little book that says, where does it say that? And it's photocopies of their actual works. So you can show them with their own works, photocopied page. You can go right to the reference itself. They can check it later. Very important because today, talking to Mormons today, you'll find that many Mormons today, you have to educate them on what the church actually has taught, does teach. History of their church, they don't even know it themselves. And so you have to help them many times, even understand, like Jerry was saying this weekend, I think I like how he said this, it's almost like you have to convert them to Mormonism first to have them start.
Yeah, defending,
you
that's
know,
a good point.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And I don't really mean really convert them to Mormonism, but you have to sort of help them see that this is what Mormonism teaches.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be defending these things. And they go, oh, okay. So here's some important references. You need to have on the ready Joseph Smith and Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, page 3, 1844. That is the famous King Follett funeral discourse. That's where he says he'll prove that the world is wrong by showing what God is. I'm going to inquire after God, for I want you all to know him and to be familiar with him. Now, by the way, he said in this text, and this is very, very important, he taught that this is from the Holy Spirit, ultimately. So that's important. He says, you know that I'm his servant. I will go back to the beginning before the world was to show what kind of being God is. God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. That is the great secret. He says, it is necessary that we should understand the character and being of God and how he came to be so. For I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. We've imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil, and will do away and take away the veil so that you may see. He says, you've got to learn to become gods yourselves, and like all gods have done before you. So he says, I have always, in History of the Church, Volume 6, page 474, 1844, he says, I wish to declare I have always and in all congregations when I have preached on the subject of the deity, it has been on the plurality of gods. The plurality of gods. Be right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Elevated is my head above my enemy. Surround me with the song of glory. Song of glory.
Take away the scales from my eyes. Anoint your love upon my life. Have mercy on my soul.
So there are two specific tests that Christians will often point to when dealing with the cults. One is from Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. One is from Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 through 22. Now, the text from Deuteronomy chapter 13 specifically warns God's people that even if somebody comes, and the essential part of it is that they have signs and wonders, but they lead you after other gods, gods which you have not known, God's saying that's how you know they're a false prophet. And so even if it looks legit, but the person comes and leads you after a different god, other than God has revealed himself, then you know he's a false prophet. So what they say about God counts. That is the test. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no light in them. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22 is a test of false prophet. Now, here's how it works. God tells you the future before it happens. That's how you know this prophet's from the sovereign God, because God controls history. So if he has a false prophecy, you know he's not from God. So a false prophecy disqualifies you as a prophet of God. That's just straight away. That's it. That's all there is to it. False prophecy, not a prophet, period. Now, that's the test we have to bring. And so you look at many examples. Joseph Smith's history, numerous false prophecies. Joseph Smith, Journal of Discourses, volume 6, page 11, 1844. He said, I cannot lie down until all my work is finished. So he taught he wasn't going to die until his work was finished. Well, Joseph Smith didn't finish the translation of the Pearl of Great Price. He didn't finish that work. He was killed in Carthage before he was able to finish that work. He didn't know he was going to be murdered that day. And there's much, much more on the issue of false prophecies. And you should hear them because they're important. Let me go to another one here. This is a really important one. Joseph Smith, History of the Church, Volume 2, page 182, February 14th, 1835. Listen to what he says about this vision. He says, it was made known to him by vision and by the Holy Spirit. It's very important because if you bring up false prophecies to Mormons many times, they'll say something like, oh, he's just a man. He's not perfect. Well, that's not the test of a prophet. Every prophet was a sinner except for Jesus, obviously. But we're not saying he has to be perfect. We're saying if he speaks from God, Deuteronomy 18 says, if he speaks in the name of the Lord and the thing does not follow nor come to pass, that is the word which the Lord hath not spoken. So there's the test. Joseph said specifically in this text that this was made known to him by vision and by the Holy Spirit. He's claiming this is direct revelation from God. And here's what he says, the saints are to go forth to prune the vineyard for the last time or the coming of the Lord, which was near, even 56 years should wind up on the scene. 56 years from 1835, count down, it's 2014. There you go. False prophet. Another one, History of the Church, Volume 2, page 145, August 16th, 1834. And this had to do with them going and the temple. He says, but in case the excitement continues to be allayed and peace prevails, use every effort to prevail in the churches to gather to those regions and locate themselves to be in readiness to move into Jackson County in 2 years from the 11th of September next, which is the appointed time for the redemption of Zion. This is all stuff that was constantly talked about in that generation. They were going to go to Jackson County, Missouri. They're going to build a temple there. And that's what they expected before they all died. Another one, and this is from Orson Pratt, confirming what Joseph says here. This is June 4th, 1874, Journal of Discourses, Volume 17, page 111. Obviously, you guys can go back and to this recording and listen to it and get these references quickly later. But here we go. Ready? God said in the year 1832 that before that generation should all pass away, a house of the Lord should be built in that county, Jackson County. 1832, before they all died, that generation. Okay, he says, this was given 42 years ago. This is in 1874 now, guys. That the generation then living was not only to commence a house of God in Jackson County, Missouri, but listen, he says this, but was actually to complete the same. And when it was completed, the glory of God should rest upon it. Now listen to how Orson Pratt, Mormon apostle, interprets that prophecy in 1874. Listen, he says, we Latter-day Saints expect to return to Jackson County and to build a temple there before the generation that was living 42 years ago has all passed away. Well then, the time must be pretty near when we shall begin that work. Why? The generation is winding down. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 269, 1866. Listen to what Brigham Young says here. He says, the only men who become gods, even the sons of God, are those who enter into polygamy. Let me say it to you again, for Mormons that are listening, please hear this with the spirit of humility that I'm bringing it with. This is your prophet teaching on polygamy. He said in 1866, the only men who become gods, even the sons of God, are those who enter into polygamy. The issue of blasphemy and an abomination to believe that you can become a god one day aside, Let's talk about the fact that the Mormon believes through exaltation, through obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel, that you can be exalted to a God one day to enter into the celestial kingdom. That's what you believe. But Brigham Young says if you don't become a polygamist, you're not going to become a God one day. Mm-hmm. But Brigham also taught in the same text, he says this, watch this. Do you think that we shall ever be admitted as a state into the Union without denying the principle of polygamy? If we are not admitted until then, we shall never be admitted. Do you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at history. What happened? Not that. And many more examples can be given, but let me just hit on a key point here. Here's a really important one. Brigham Young taught, this is well known, April 9th, 1852, Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 50. Now hear it, O inhabitants of the earth, Jew and Gentile, Saint and sinner. When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. One of his wives. He helped to make and organize this world. He is Michael the Archangel, the Ancient of Days, about whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our Father and our God, and the only God with whom we have to do. Every man upon earth, professing Christians or non-professing, must hear it and will know it sooner or later. Adam-God doctrine, that Adam is actually our Father and our God. He is our Father and our God, and brought one of his goddess wives with him into the garden to populate this earth. Now, lest you think this is some wackadoodle crazy stuff that Brigham Young said just kind of on one occasion, he wasn't really concerned with it or committed to it. Now you need to hear him. Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 51, April 9th, 1852. He says this about this Adam-God doctrine. What a learned idea. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden and who is our Father in heaven. Listen to that again. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden and who is our Father in heaven. That's the Adam-God doctrine. Adam is our Father in heaven. He brought one of his polygamous wives with him to the garden, and he's also responsible for producing Jesus as a son. Okay, now watch this. Now, Mormons today will say, that's crazy sauce. And I want to say, amen. Keep saying that, okay? And here's what Brigham Young says to you if you deny it. He says, now let all who may hear these doctrines pause before they make light of them or treat them with indifference, for they will prove their salvation or damnation. They will prove their salvation or damnation. Brigham Young said, you deny this doctrine, you deny that Adam is our Father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do, and you are damned. Now, Mormons will typically say when you bring up stuff from Brigham Young or Joseph Smith or Orson Pratt or Orson Hyde or whatever from their own sources, they'll say, well, that's not part of our standard works. We have four standard works, Bible, Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants. Four standard works. Not there, don't have to believe it. Wrong. Brigham Young taught very clearly that he has never given a sermon or sent it out to the sons of men that they may not call scripture, okay? And when they went out to the presses, both in Liverpool and in Salt Lake, those presses, before they got there, they went through checks and balances by Brigham and all of his underlings to make sure that this was, in fact, what was supposed to be printed. So believe me, if it made it into Journal of Discourses, it was supposed to be there. Now listen to me on the street discussing this issue with two Mormon apologists. These are two Mormon apologists, one a more well-known one, a friend of ours, Luke and I, and another one that I've known for about 10 years. This is us discussing the issue of Brigham Young, Adam God doctrine, and the four standard works, and all that stuff. Here we go.
Is that Brigham Young didn't hold to your view of the standard works. Brigham Young taught that
you don't know that. You don't.
Well, let me give you a direct quote.
You don't want to point out anything where we are in line with the Bible.
Well, let me just give you what Brigham Young says. That's the best thing to do is for solace to go to what the man says.
Well, where he says here, but you don't want to point out where he says there.
Well, Stefan, we're doing one point at a time, and the point you made was that you believe that it wasn't in the four standard works, so it doesn't count. And so what I'm telling you is that the prophet of your church that you hold as a prophet doesn't agree with your position. He said when he preached that I've never yet preached a sermon and sent it out to the children of men that they may not call scripture. Now, his sermons, he saw as scripture. You apparently at this point believe that you can discount a teaching where he says that you'll be damned. He said that you'll be damned if you deny the Adam-God doctrine. You're saying, well, it's not in the standard works that I have to believe it. Brigham didn't agree with your position.
So you're like a dog who latches onto a bone and you won't let go of it.
At this point you're not answering the challenge.
And you won't let go of that if your life depends on it. If your soul depends on it, you won't let go of that. It's like the freedomfromreligion.org people won't let go of when Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace but a sword.
Well, let me do this. Do you agree
and
with
they
Brigham?
They won't let him say, peace I leave with you, not as the world give I unto you. They won't acknowledge that.
Well, before you compare me to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, because I simply quote Brigham, let me ask you if you agree with Brigham that his sermons were scripture.
No.
Okay, so you disagree with your prophet.
I do not disagree with him. I'm saying...
Okay, I'll quote it to you. You say yes or no. I have never yet preached a sermon and sent it out to the children of men they may not call scripture. Agree or disagree?
I'm going to have to look at that in context with everything else. Let me ask you, Craig.
Now, this is really important. This is a moment. It's really actually very telling, important to hear. This is now Stephen and this other Mormon apologist now engaging each other on this issue. And what happens, you need to hear.
I'm going to take everything that Brigham Young said as scripture.
Well, if he says it in a context that he's giving a sermon and explains and says, this is what I'm saying to you, I'm preaching this to you, and then he turns around and uses that, and by saying, this is scripture, well then, evidently, the people in the audience would, I would say, consider that scripture at that time.
Yeah, at that time. Yeah, but now we have a modern-day prophet.
Do we believe in modern revelation? Yes.
When a modern-day prophet says something different from what Brigham Young says...
Okay.
Do we still hang on to Brigham Young's words like a dog to a bone and discount what our modern-day prophet says?
Well,
no.
If the things that the modern-day prophet, if he goes through and says, Brigham Young said this, and I disagree with Brigham Young, I'm saying it's this way. Well, then I would go by and say, okay, what my prophet is saying, if he's going to disagree with Brigham Young, maybe he has a point, maybe he has a certain reason, then I'm going to go ahead and go with the living one, because maybe he has more knowledge given to him.
We go by our living prophet.
Right, and at that point...
But I haven't seen them go through and just say that when Brigham Young said this, or Brigham Young said this, or Brigham Young said this,
we don't fight amongst our prophets.
So there are over 100 different sects of Mormonism don't fight over your prophets?
We don't play your games, Nick, or Jeff.
Nick.
We don't play your games.
I'm answering.
Is this Nick Durbin?
So,
that's your new nickname, Nick.
Right? No. But that was important, I think, to hear. That's, by the way, presuppositional. It's bringing him to what is supposed to be at the foundations. What this is like answering a fool according to his folly, right? Stepping into his worldview and saying, well, you're saying that your church has restored prophets and apostles to the earth. Correct? Yes. Well, your prophet says this. Well, I don't have to listen to him. Oh, so you don't have restored prophets and apostles to the church, and your prophets can disagree with one another. See the point? There's the conflict. And when he says something like, when someone says something, challenge him. When he says, we don't disagree on our prophets, Jeff. Oh, so the over 100 different sects of Mormonism, you guys are all good, monolithic on your view of prophets, right? And that's why he got upset, obviously, and that's why he called me Nick. We'll be right back next week, guys. ApologiaRadio.com. That's the bear, that's the girl. Love you guys.
Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at apologiachurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at is the Embassy Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.